Kaffee in seiner besten Form. Mit Cubo wird jeder Kaffee auf Knopfdruck zum Genussmoment. Denn mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo genießt du feinsten Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Vollmundige Aromen dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie und über 17 Sorten Kaffee für jeden Geschmack. Erlebe Premium-Kaffee schon ab 29 Euro. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Stu does America.
Is that the longest title we've ever had? Follow the show on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Be sure to subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. Rob Eno is here to tell me, where is the coverage of the media, of the government shutdown? Like, what wasn't that always a big story when that happened? Why are we not seeing anything about this? It's a fascinating study. We have a stunning jewel heist at a museum. We have police asking, where is Jeffy Fisher? Which is always a good question to ask when a crime has been committed. But we're going to start by doing the continuing kinglessness of the United States of America. Might be our longest title of all time. How many episodes of this stupid show have we done? Like over 1,000, right? It might be our longest title. The continuing kinglessness of the United States of America. And we put it in the title because I wanted to remind you, we actually don't have a king. So having a no kings protest, kind of pointless. You know, I don't think people, it's like one of those things where people take this, their version of their life, and they just compare it to this really terrible thing that they know about because they assume, because they feel bad about something, that it was just the same as this terrible thing from history. It's like when an NFL athlete is asked a question about their contract and they say it's basically slavery. They're like, actually, you're making $8 million a year to play football. So probably not the same as slavery. There's slight nuanced differences that you might note. And the same thing here, like, it kind of seems like it's not really like this dystopian tyranny that the left seems to think it was. It's funny because they've been trying to create that and trying to expand government power forever. And then now they have a president they don't like. So they don't like the tyranny anymore, apparently. This point was made pretty succinctly by the Speaker of the House on one of the Sunday shows, I think with John Carl. Watch.
So let's start with the No Kings rallies. You called these hate America rallies. What do you mean by that?
Well, that collection of folks that I listed were certainly part of it. We congratulate them on a apparently violent free speech exercise. I was a First Amendment lawyer for 20 years. We defend that right. But the irony of the message is pretty clear for everyone. If President Trump was a king, the government would be open right now. If President Trump was a king, they would not have been able to engage in that free speech exercise out on the mall, by the way, which was open because President Trump hasn't closed it. In the last shutdown, 2013 era, President Obama closed the National Mall. It closed all the national parks, didn't allow people to engage in all this. So, I mean, they needed a stunt. They needed a show. Chuck Schumer needs cover right now. He's closed the government down because he needs political cover, and this was a part of it.
Mm. And this is the reality of the situation is we're not dealing with a king. There's a lot of things the king could be doing and is not doing. If he was really a king, he'd just do the things he wanted to do. That's how the king thing works. We don't like that here. We've been arguing against it for a very long time. We welcome you to the party. It's nice of you to show up, but it does seem like a giant bit of effort to accomplish something that doesn't really need accomplishing. It reminds me of a clip from Mr. Show where they're talking about Grass Valley Greg, this tech executive, and how he's kind of wasted his money. Watch.
The thing you got to remember is that Greg is not that bright. He had this bizarre obsession with tofu-based products. You know, he spent $25 million shipping a product called Tofu Lawful, a falafel substitute to the Middle East. In 1989, he hired the country of Canada to sing happy birthday to him. He spent $100 million on a campaign to legalize tomatoes, which I assume worked because I had a tomato yesterday and I'm not in jail, am I?
What you saw this weekend was a $100 million campaign to legalize tomatoes. They're already legal. That's what this was. It was just a giant campaign to legalize tomatoes. So the fact that we are in this world where we don't have a king and we're having a protest to make sure that we don't have a king, the continuing kinglessness of the United States of America does seem appropriate. Of course, the media doesn't see it that way. They want you to know this was a wonderful protest and accomplished all of its goals and more. It did more than you ever could have imagined. Let's go through some of the media reaction. Massive no kings protest, short circuit. MAGA's mockery. Did it short circuit your mockery? I honestly ask you that question. When you were home and you were making fun of idiots on these protests, did you feel short-circuited? Did your mockery feel that it was short-circuited? Mine didn't. The Bulwark's is Long Live No Kings, which, again, wasn't that at one point supposed to be a conservative or Republican, at least, organization? I don't even understand what they are. How No Kings embraced the good kind of weird and won the normies. This was an interesting thing. A lot of inflatables out at the protest. You know, a serious political protest, a real, true effort to legalize tomatoes always has a bunch of inflatables. And really funny, hilarious signs. Trump's over-the-top reaction to No Kings events was proof of their success. Oh, because Trump never overreacts over the top when he gets annoyed at anything. Trump's response to No Kings marches only prove the protesters' point. Actually, the protesters' point seemed to be that there was a king. So again, his reaction, which was seemingly posting an AI video of a plane pooping on protesters, isn't exactly what kings do. If you look back in history, they have a lot of other things at their disposal when it comes to power. Most of it, not just little funny videos. Mother Jones says Trump and Johnson are melting down over the success of No Kings. Are they? I mean, we just showed you a clip of Johnson. I don't think the man's capable of melting down. He's the calmest man in America. He just sits there and has the exact, he sounds the exact same. If he was announcing an ongoing fire, an ongoing mass shooting at the hands of a Bernie Sanders donor and volunteer, I still think he'd sound the exact same. That's just how he is all the time. TMZ says flashes sign, Pedro Pascal flashes sign at No Kings protest in L.A., needles Trump with only Queens message. Oh, I'm sure he felt needled by that guy who's in that show or something. The No Kings protesters flood over 2,500 cities to defy Trump. Again, I don't know. Does Trump really care? He might. I mean, Trump, you know, certain things get under Trump's skin and he gets pissed off about them. I doubt he really cared about this. He's in the middle of like trying to make peace in the Middle East, solving wars and such. I don't think this is a big issue, but I do want to like hit on the scope of this because it's difficult to know how big these things were. What you just heard there was 2,500 cities flooded with No Kings protesters. Now, I don't know about you. I live in Texas. I live in a more conservative area. It's actually a pretty purple area where I live. But there are blue areas around me, very red areas around me as well. I certainly felt absolutely no impact from these. Didn't know. I don't know if they happened around. Maybe they did, but if they did, they were small enough that it made no impact whatsoever. Perhaps maybe in Dallas, which is maybe 20 minutes or a half hour away from where I live, perhaps down there it really like shook things up. I don't know. But what's important to understand is basically this happened in three places. Not 2,500. It happened in three places. This is Newsweek. No Kings map estimates highest and lowest turnout by state. Here's what it looked like. Here's the map, boys and girls. What do you see? You see three states in dark blue. The three states are California, Illinois, and New York. That's it. Those are the three. That's where almost all of this happened. Now, you did have a little bit in Minnesota and Washington and Oregon, a little bit of Massachusetts as well. Not much really anywhere else. I mean, many states basically had no showing. So 2,500 cities, 7 million people, I doubt it. Let's be honest about it. First of all, protests, let me start here. This is my point. Doesn't have to be your point. It's my point. Protests, for the most part, are dumb. Okay, I'm just going to say it. They're dumb. They're a waste of time. They very rarely accomplish things. Now, you might say, well, what about that protest I went to? That one was really cool. It might have been really cool. There's probably been a couple that have been cool. Have they all been for terrible reasons like the No Kings protest? No. I mean, some of them have been for really good reasons. They're also almost always dumb because, number one, they don't normally accomplish much of anything. Number two, I just don't want to hang out with people and do that all day. And that's just me. This one was very, very stupid. And you saw the activities. You can't believe, of course, the reported numbers from the organizers. They're just going to say a very, very high number and brag about it. But I mean, this one seemed a lot more about vanity than it did substance. I mean, when you really look at what happened in this, what were they trying to even accomplish? You know, we've seen this before when they had big rallies against Donald Trump. You saw the anger. You saw what they were trying to do. This one was, I mean, honestly, a lot very silly at times, like lots of inflatable toys and lots of, you know, silly signs referencing pop culture. And it did not seem like the type of serious protest you look back on in the history books. It seemed like kind of more like a nice outdoor gathering for a bunch of liberals who wanted to go walk around inside of cities. That's what it looked like to me. It was more of a party protest than an actual protest about substance. And, you know, I honestly, like, they're all getting upset about the Trump AI poop plane video. Kind of the only reason I knew it existed. I have to admit, like, coming in today, I start reading the news, you know, going through all the prep of the day. And I guess the No Kings thing was the big story of the weekend. I didn't care about it at all. I mean, it's hard to come in. Sometimes I have to come in here and just do, I do this for you. Sometimes I have to come in here and do shows about things I don't care about at all. The No Kings protest, I don't care about it at all. I didn't think it did anything. Now, there's a lot. There is an underbelly here. We'll get into this in a second. But overall, I honestly, to be honest, both the Eagles and Blue Jays won yesterday. That's kind of what I care about right now. And Game 7 tonight, Toronto Blue Jays, America's team, against some sort of sea-based team. I'm not exactly sure how that works. Anyway, Democrats at No Kings rally and protest Trump, but many say they're also unhappy with their own party. This is fun from the Democrats. While many protesters spoke to NBC News about their dissatisfaction with Trump, a plethora of left-leaning and liberal protesters also made one more thing clear. They're not happy with Democratic leaders either. I don't have a lot of faith in the Democrats right now. Alex, a construction worker who traveled to Washington from Northern Virginia. Now, why would he have to travel anywhere? I mean, Northern Virginia, they didn't have their own protest. They had 2,500 cities, we were told. I don't understand that. A little bit closer by. I guess Northern Virginia is close by to Washington, but it'd take go to a local protest, boys and girls. They don't seem to have a spine or a single message. They're just too disorganized to put up a good fight against this BS. Now, of course, number one, the Republicans sound the same way at Republican protests. They're constantly complaining about somebody. So it's usually congressional Republicans rather than the president these days. But generally speaking, we're always bitching about our own party, too. But it is fun to watch liberals eat their own, no? It pains me to say it, but Trump goons are effing organized compared to the Dems right now, he added. Clark Fury, 40, who lives in Washington, called on elected Democrats to throw some more elbows. Yeah, because they're just not. I mean, they're not. They're not outwardly calling for enough assassinations, right? Like, I'm sure they've had attempts. Sure, they got some of our guys, but gosh, they're just not doing enough. The elbows aren't out enough from the Democrats. That's the way they view this. We're just taking it on the chin. We're not speaking out. What are you talking about? All you do is talk all the time, constantly running your mouth. What do you mean you're not speaking out? You're speaking out. Trust me. Sick of hearing it, frankly. Bernie Sanders at the No Kings rally. He says mega billionaires, not millionaires, billionaires have hijacked the economy. Can't be millionaires and billionaires anymore for Bernie because he's now a millionaire. So can't criticize millionaires anymore. But he says this is about a handful of the wealthiest people on earth who, in their insatiable greed, have hijacked our economy. This what I'm reading here from Bernie Sanders, to be clear, is a conspiracy theory. That's what this is. It's a conspiracy theory. He's just picking groups of people that are saying manipulate everything that you do. At the end of the day, they were all able to go out to these rallies. Why? Because the Constitution and this constitutional culture that we've at least been able to maintain for a couple hundred years protects them. Anyway, he says it's he talks about Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg. Now, all three of those people were Democrats as of like 2 years ago. But they're apparently the problem. And I think Bezos would probably still a Democrat. Zuckerberg, probably still a Democrat. We don't know for sure. He went from a kind of initially not, and then he became one. And lately, he's sort of hinted that maybe he's not. And then Elon Musk, who did vote for Republican and, of course, campaign for the president and such, also is the guy who owns the largest electric car company in America and also the largest solar company in America. So I don't know. Those are the people with the problems now. Okay, fine. I mean, it seems like basically he just picked the three most famous billionaires. That seems to be what he did. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson is upping the ante. He says summoning people of all backgrounds to unite and take a stand against President Donald Trump's tyranny, the ultra wealthy and corporate. I mean, I could just read the same freaking statement from each one of these people. They all say this exact same freaking thing. This is nonsense. He wants everyone to not work, though, as if anyone in this city was working anyway. So there you go. Okay. How were the protesters at these things? Well, they were as annoying as you could possibly imagine. Here is one talking to a fan of Charlie Kirk. Watch.
With a shirt that says for Charlie.
Because I advocate for free speech.
Okay, do you have free speech? Wear a shirt that says free speech. Wear a shirt that says promote free debate.
Free press.
You get triggered because it has Charlie on there, right?
Because he was a racist. Because he was a misogynist. And that means that you are too. Because you support him. Get out. Get out of here.
He hated people.
Yeah, just
he hated
calm
anyone
it down.
That wasn't white, calm wasn't down. Male, that wasn't straight.
That was, a maniacal leftist screaming at a guy. And if you're listening to the podcast, you know, what you see there is a guy, he's got a shirt that's just for Charlie. Well-kept guy, just kind of like there, talking to a liberal maniac who comes over and screams in his faces. And we talked about this on radio and really went into depth on this particular clip because it's something for us to learn. Like, I know at times when you're getting, someone's in your face, they're screaming at you, they're going nuts, they're doing all these things. It feels like you're not doing your job unless you mix it up with them, unless you fight back, unless you say things and scream at them and get in some sort of altercation, some sort of verbal altercation at the very least with them. Watch that clip, because what you see there is the conservative winning. Now, he's just smiling, he's laughing, he's making his points calmly, like Charlie Kirk did, by the way, often. And he wins that interaction. We don't have to act like left-wing lunatics to win. In fact, we do much better when we don't do that. Being them sucks. I don't want to be them. You can be them. If you want to be them, you can be them. I'm not going to be them. I would much rather be us. And I think, honestly, when we act that way, when we are making our points calmly, rationally, soberly, as opposed to what they do, which is just scream at you and tell you to get out at the top of their lungs with their crazy orange hair, there's a major line there. I want to be on the other side of that line. I don't know. Maybe you don't. But you're just like, well, we're going to lose. I don't think we lose when we do that. I think the American people look at that clip and say, God, I don't want to be that woman. I'd rather be that guy. He's the calm one. So there you go. Let's see. What else do we have here? More Charlie Kirk stuff. I mean, the guy was just murdered in front of thousands of people in the entire world. Let's make him the subject of our attacks. In this case, not with bullets. Thank you very much for once. But here they are with words.
We need to get ourselves together. And we might even need to be a little bit meaner. Because the Republicans don't mind being mean.
And by mean, what do you mean? Do you mean protesting? Do you mean...
Maybe we have to, I don't know, stop being so nice.
Because you seem like a pretty nice lady.
I'm a pretty nice lady, but I can be pretty mean, too.
Okay, and I have to ask this because people on the other side are going to say that they feel like the Democrat Party has been mean. Recently, with Charlie Kirk being assassinated,
Charlie Kirk is a piece of garbage. Of course we were mean. I am so tired of people saying, oh, but, you know, it's a terrible thing. No, Hitler is dead. I'm glad Hitler's dead. Evil people have no place in my world. He was a hateful human being. It was disgusting, the things that he said and did. I don't have time for that. I'm sorry. I have to point my energy in other directions.
The scariest thing about that particular clip is you realize that's not the lady with the orange hair screaming at the top of her lungs, get out, you're a racist, you're a misogynist. It's a very calm woman. Very calm woman, calmly and rationally explaining why a 31-year-old man should have been murdered and taken away from his family. That is just central to her ideology, that anyone who disagrees with her dies. Let me tell you about Don Lemon, who's telling people to go out and get guns because, the left seems to be had their head really screwed on the right way when it comes to firearms. Let's watch.
Black people, brown people of all stripes, whether you're an Indian American or a Mexican American or whoever you are, go out in your place where you live and get a gun legally. Get a license to carry legally. Because when you have people knocking on your door and taking you away, without due process as a citizen. Isn't that what the Second Amendment was written for? Go back and read what the Second Amendment says. And perhaps it will knock some sense in the head, in the heads of these people who are saying, well, it's all great. I don't believe they're doing it without due process. They're asking people for papers. They're not really beating people up. These people are doing things that are illegal. Nobody is illegal. It is a misdemeanor to cross the border.
First of all, did he have some sort of allergic reaction? Did he get stung by a bee before this broadcast? Why couldn't he talk correctly? Was he trying out a new accent? What was that? But we know, like, I actually agree with part of that. Whether you're black or brown or white or whatever color you are, you have a Second Amendment right. And to assuming that you go along with all the rules and standards, you know, not being a felon and all the things, you have a right to own a firearm, and you should have one to protect yourself if you find it to be appropriate for your family. Now, protecting them against law enforcement is not really the way you should use that weapon. It's a pretty clear message. Now, when I say, hey, absolutely, African-Americans, go out, Hispanic people, go out, get guns, protect yourself, because there's lunatics all over the place, like Don Lemon. So I don't know what he's going to do to you tomorrow. He's got a terrible bee sting problem, and who knows how that's going to make him act. You should protect yourself against criminals, not Don Lemon, not the government. You should protect yourself against criminals if you are going to be assaulted by them. You need to be able to protect yourself. So I have no problem with the Second Amendment message there. But when I say that, what people hear is, hey, use your gun in a legally responsible way. That's how conservatives use firearms. How do people on the left hear that message? What do they think when they hear a message like that from Don Lemon? Watch.
You gotta grab a gun. We gotta turn around the guns on this fascist system. These ICE agents gotta get shot and wiped out. This state, the state machinery, that's a full display right there, has to get wiped out.
We have to take our guns. We have to turn them against this machine. Those ICE agents need to be shot. They need to be wiped out. That's what he said. This is what apparently Don Lemon wants. I mean, he specifically said you should take out your guns against ICE. So surely that's a really responsible thing to say. And let's end this with a classic. This is, of course, what everyone at all of these rallies actually really wants. Here they are.
There's no other way I'd want to celebrate my birthday than with my parents and my best friend fighting for our country.
So for a birthday present, what do you hope happens? You know, you wake up tomorrow morning.
I hope that I see the obituary that we're all waiting for tomorrow. That's what I hope for.
Yeah. you're wishing that President Trump is dead?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Again, calmly and rationally explain to you that they want the president dead. Again, I just will note this one more time. This is a giant campaign to legalize tomatoes. If Donald Trump was a king, you would not go on camera and say how much you wanted him dead. You would be scared that something would happen to you. Instead, nothing happens to you because you live in America and there is no king. This is just a giant campaign to legalize tomatoes, and you will be shocked and, but I think, happily surprised to hear, tomatoes, to this day, are illegal.
Stu does America.
If you've ever had to do it before, you probably know that buying or selling a house isn't just a financial decision. It's a life decision. It's about finding the right schools. It's about finding the right neighborhood. It's about timing. It's about trust. You're putting the future of your financial house, about your family's life, into somebody else's hands and hoping they treat it with the same care that you would. That's why realestateagentsitrust.com got started in the first place. Every agent is in the network and is fully vetted for honesty and experience and results. These are professionals who understand your values and your priorities and people who actually want to listen and communicate clearly and know how to navigate a market that can change overnight. Whether you're moving across the town or across the country, they know that the process can be stressful, and they know that they can make it easier if they work with you. Realestateagentsitrust.com. They're built, you know, this is a site that's built basically for good people to find great agents, not by chance, but by design. Because the right agent doesn't just sell a house. They help you find the next chapter of your life with confidence and make it work for you and your family. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. realestateagentsitrust.com. It's a free service to you. Check it out now. realestateagentsitrust.com.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.
I want to bring in Rob Eno, Managing Editor of Blaze News, following the shutdown stuff very closely. Rob, how are you?
Very good.
I wanted to bring you in. We always talk about media stuff and how the media is reacting to everything that's going on. And I just have really noticed quite the difference between this shutdown and every other shutdown I've ever covered in my entire life. And there's been a lot of them. Every other time, it's the party that's out of power, gets all the blame. And all we see on the news all the time are sob stories of, you know, some random single mom who is depending on some service that is now no longer. All she needed was, you know, Meals on Wheels to deliver her Captain Crunch, and that's not going to be there this time. So we're supposed to be very sad about that, and I'm sure there are real sad stories, but I'm not hearing any of them this time. Seems like nothing's happening at all this time that's bad whatsoever. Why is that?
It's because it's the Democrat shutdown.
Yes.
That is, I mean, it's Occam's razor, right? Yeah. It's the simple thing. 4 days ago, there was another vote to try and end the shutdown, and it failed cloture. 51 votes to 45. Now, my math tells me that 51 is a majority of 100.
Yes.
But because of the stupid Senate rules, it's
right.
not. So every Republican, except for, I think, Rand Paul, is because I never want Rand Paul to vote to end a shutdown.
Mm-hmm,
I
right,
just don't.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because
no,
that's Rand,
okay.
right? Like,
right.
that's Rand,
that's
that was his dad, that's Thomas Massie. Like, mm-hmm. I give him a pass. Mm-hmm. That's their shtick. I might do the same thing, vote no on everything.
Right.
So, you know.
It's an ideological
yeah.
commitment, and I have no problem with that, honestly. Ideology gets a bad name by right. you know by some people, but like I generally speaking like it. I think I'd rather have people who are standing up for what they believe and have a reason to believe it
right.
as opposed to whatever we're doing these days.
Right, and it's crazy, and you know the media doesn't know how to do this, right? Like, they haven't, even was it the LA Times or the Washington Post that said, yes, Obamacare did not lower costs, it actually raised them,
yeah.
which is why they're having trouble.
Washington
like, I love seeing people like Elizabeth Warren and all these folks get on the internet, try to get into the media, but they're not really, saying, oh, they're going to raise the price of health insurance for Americans making $85,000. No, they're not. The price is going to stay the same. The only thing we're doing is not actually stealing money from one person at the point of the government's guns to give it to another person to pay for their health care. The premium doesn't go down. It's just the amount of the subsidy.
Right. And to be clear,
yeah.
we still will be doing that. We just won't be doing it as much if the Republicans get their way. Right. Like
right.
What they want us to do is to double down on the COVID era expansion of all of those subsidies. The subsidies will still be there under Obamacare. This is their bit. They passed this stupid law. None of us wanted it. They passed it.
It said it will end on a certain day.
They said it will end. They passed original Obamacare. What we're talking about now is going back from COVID Obamacare to regular Obamacare. The
right.
thing they said was going to be the end all be all of all civilization. And yet that now that's their tragic outcome. It's unbelievable.
Right. And that's why the media is not covering.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, that's it. Right.
It is that simple. You know, the other one that's funny is nobody is spending money on illegal immigrants and Obamacare. Right. Well, wait a second. There's this matching funds thing mm-hmm. that if you spend $100 on your state level mm-hmm. Obamacare, Medicare, that the federal government will give you $100 to match it. And you're spending $100 on illegal immigrants, so you're getting $100 extra that you
right.
didn't have that offsets the amount of money that you would have paid for the non-illegal immigrants. But yes, no, the federal law says we can't do that.
Yes, money is fungible, isn't it?
Right.
It's fungible. I always get that's what I always do with like, oh, well, no, I didn't spend any money on gambling. I spent money on something else, and then I used this other money, this other pile of money for gambling. Well, if you're going to spend that on something else, Right. It doesn't matter. It's money is money. Yeah. But of course, these are the games that they play. I was watching, speaking of, let's call it investing, I was looking at some of the prediction markets over the past couple of days. And I noticed today at about, I don't know, 5, 6 a.m., we had a major drop in the length of the shutdown, predicted shutdown. Markets reacted to something. I guess it was partially this, maybe. White House economic advisor Hassett says shutdown could end this week. We don't know. Sometimes there's just insiders trading this stuff, too. Right. So it could just be that. Maybe there's something coming. It does feel like a deal might be coming. But when I look at it from the perspective of why these things usually end, there's usually political consequences. Right now, I don't see any. I mean,
not for anybody. Yeah. I mean, and there's some people that are saying they think it'll go on till, you know, past Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know, what they're doing is they're ramping up who they're going to furlough. And I did see the media start to get a little bit angsty today that the people in the Nuclear Regulatory Commission might get their furloughs today. Mm. I think as this goes on, the fungible money that they're using
right.
can go on. And like, you know, you see some, there's different things that they've done, right? The tariff stuff. They're like, he can't just use the tariff money for whatever he wants and pay for this. That's not what's in the law. I have not looked at the emergency tariff law, but I will guarantee you that some idiot Congress gave the president the right to use the money that you get from emergency tariffs for whatever you want. I guarantee you that is written into the law. I mean, like, sorry, 99.99% sure, so I can't say with 100% yes. certainty, but... Mm. Everything that Donald Trump has done, and it's what drives me crazy with the media, he has actually cited the actual law that he's using to do it.
Yes, yeah, he does. I mean, like, he's using IEEPA for the tariff thing, and it's like, well, it doesn't actually say tariffs in it. It's got some general language, but this is the problem, and I think you're getting at here.
Right.
These laws are often vague. They give
on purpose.
These vague, yeah, exactly, because they don't want to take any responsibility for when stuff goes wrong. They'd rather just hand it off to the president. And despite the fact that the Constitution quite clearly says trade policy is part of Congress, they are supposed to be dealing with it. They've given him so many passes to do whatever he wants. I mean, I don't know how the courts are going to look at this.
But you would say that Congress has done it, right? That if the Congress wrote a law mm-hmm. and a president passed it that said that a president can do this, then they've abrogated their responsibility and they've already given it to the president.
That's like when my wife asked me to pick up my kids at school and I just wrote a pass for a homeless person to do it instead. Technically, I did it.
Exactly.
I don't know how that works. I don't think I'd be married much longer if I implemented this logic that goes on in Congress, but we know how that works. You mentioned earlier, too, the filibuster situation. You know, there's a law, you know, the rules in the Senate, you need 60 votes right. to get this shutdown over with. Chip Roy is now floating a nuclear option on the Senate to end this Senate filibuster. Right. Now, of course, he's in the House, so he doesn't have to deal with the Senate. Although I would love for him to run for Senate. I think he'd be great. I am very nervous about the filibuster going away because I just, you know, we know how the left's going to use it. And the longer we can hold these lines so they can't pass everything in their little wildest dreams, it makes me a little more comfortable. I'd rather have the government doing less than more, honestly, right. in a lot of ways. So I am nervous about this. I mean, do you think this is a reality? You think this is going to happen?
I think if it keeps going on, that the president will up the pressure on John Thune to do it.
Mm.
And my understanding of the way that Senate rules work is they can change the rules of the Senate just with a simple majority vote.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, you hear a lot about the Senate parliamentarian says you can't do this, you can't do that. All it takes is the chair of the Senate to say, no, that's not it. And then they vote. And if 50 plus one doesn't uphold what the parliamentarian said, then basically the chair of the Senate, who is, by the way, J.D. Vance, can go in and say, no, we're voting on this. There's no filibuster for this. And if they get a 51 vote, then the filibuster's gone for that vote. Mm. Like that can happen in the Senate.
Yeah.
If there was the will.
Yeah, that's very true. Let me ask you one more media-related question before I let you go. Forever, there was just left-wing media, basically. It was just everybody was on the left. And then we had sort of, you know, maybe starting, you can go look through a bunch of different ways to start it, but like, you know, Rush Limbaugh might be the way I would say it started with talk radio. Talk radio gave a powerful pushback against the mainstream media. Then that grew into the internet, and then you had, you know, blogs and social media and all these things. And still, though, the right was outside of all the institutions. Like, it was, the left was inside, the right was outside. We were always the outside force pushing against. And I think that power over a long period of time has created some interesting situations. Let me bring up three of them to you.
Okay.
One, Elon Musk buying Twitter. right, changes social media. All of a sudden, we have one where we can actually not be thrown off all the time. Two, Barry Weiss at CBS, kind of a potentially important thing. We talked about it a little bit a couple weeks ago. We don't know how that lands yet, but it is a big difference. And someone who's sane all of a sudden at CBS News. And then three, I think one that we kind of all brushed off at the time, you brought up a little a few minutes ago, which was Jeff Bezos taking over the Washington Post, but then coming out with a statement last year where he said, oh, we're going to start focusing more on free markets. We're going to start changing the way we do things and focusing more on free markets. We saw that in that Obamacare op-ed. That thing never would have run by the Washington Post op-ed board 2 years ago. And that was a really critical of Obamacare. Are we starting to see a revolution here where at least the right has a voice in these mainstream institutions?
I think you're seeing them try to go back to what they were. Well, I don't think they ever were, but what we thought they were, which was a neutral arbiter of news. I mean, most cities had two newspapers, right? You had the Washington Times and you had the Washington Post. And the Washington Times was actually a big newspaper, not, you know, the remnant that it is now that would be the conservative paper. You had the Boston Herald and the Boston Globe. You had the Chicago Sun-Times and the Chicago Tribune. Mm-hmm. You had these dueling news outlets that gave you that. And then it became just this one behemoth. And I think you might. And I mean, I think I saw some, you know, 60 Minutes this weekend. They actually, they had a DOJ critic, but then they had somebody on from the DOJ to refute what the DOJ critic said. Mm. So, like, that's not something that would have happened on 60 Minutes before. It would have been, like, the super sob story.
Right.
And they would have just kept going, right? And CNN had something last week, and surprisingly, I need to follow up with them, but their media relation guy did not get back to me on the president stopping that carbon tax for the shipping last week. And it was like, Donald Trump stopped something that will save the world. Like, that was the lead.
That's the take,
in the CNN. And there was not one, and it was like experts say, there was not, I mean, I said, you can't find one expert that might say something different.
Right.
So there are still organizations that are falling back on the experts say, which is exactly the same as some people say. You know what?
It is.
Some people say that the shutdown's going to be done at noon today.
Yeah, right.
Or noon tomorrow.
Yeah.
Some people say it.
Right.
I mean, that's not a way to report.
If you're going to give and look, expert opinion can be important to a story to add a little bit of, you know, credibility or context. Just tell me who the expert is.
Right.
Give me a name. These people have names. If experts don't say what expert says, give me the name of the expert. Right. Then maybe give me an expert on the other side saying something different. If there is one, they don't like to do that. But I don't think that, like, to be clear, I don't think the Barry Weiss thing is going to stop this overall, but maybe it stops it at just CBS. You know, maybe it just holds it back a little bit at CBS. CNN's still going to be CNN. MSNBC is still going to be MSNBC. We're never going to lose all the liberal media. But I think at least that we have a voice in these mainstream institutions is a real positive.
Right. MS Now will still be bad.
Yeah. Now. Oh, sorry. MS Now.
Yeah, MS Now, whatever they call themselves. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And it's going to take, I mean, you saw the standards department person quit at CBS. The reason the person quit is they're not going to be able to be unstandard.
Right.
They're not going to be able to approve the bad journalism that they have been doing. It's going to take a while. It's going to take, I hate to say it because my parents are boomers, but it's going to take the boomers getting out of all of these institutions to, I think, work them around. That is what that's what destroyed the media. That's what destroyed the country. It's the hippy dippy me first culture of the boomers is working. It's what destroyed the Catholic Church for a while. Mm. You know, the boomer priests. I mean, it's that there is a certain mentality that comes with that generation that is slowly weaning its way out of power, though they don't want to leave, which is why you have the average age of a U.S. senator, I think, at like 79 or whatever the heck.
79 seems young.
Yeah. But it's slowly moving itself away.
Yeah. And like, we obviously have lots of boomers who watch the, like, there's lots of great people there, but there is a, especially the people that decided their life work was going to be staying in government until they were 95.
Right.
Really, there is a specific type of, it's a Nancy Pelosi type of thing, right? Like Chuck Schumer, like these people are there forever. And of course, we could solve that one with term limits, but that's just me, you know, just me. Rob, you know, managing editor of Blaze News, talking about the media and everything going on with the shutdown. I know they have lots of coverage on theblaze.com, so make sure to check out all their great coverage there. Rob, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
So remember we did the story about Ian Andre Roberts a couple weeks ago. He was this guy who was actually a legal immigrant, and he somehow, even though he had all sorts of legal problems in the past, wound up getting a job as the head of Des Moines schools, despite like a bunch of sexual harassment allegations and all sorts of different things. Well, there's a new development in that story from The Federalist. Criminal illegal alien who ran Des Moines schools registered as a Maryland voter. It's fascinating because he is not even a citizen, yet he was able to register to vote at least twice in 2011 and 2016. Once again, this is why we have ID. This is why we have requirements that are supposed to set some sort of barrier of entry when it comes to voting, because a lot of people aren't allowed to vote. Illegal immigrants aren't allowed to vote. So they shouldn't be able to have ID. They should be on a voter roll and should have to check some boxes as to whether they have the requirements to vote. These are not, this is not, you know, we're not talking about poll taxes here. We're talking about very basic things that anybody can do if you are actually able to vote. Of course, the left likes these votes. They like these little straggler votes that vote for their candidates. You know, I don't know how many there are. You know, some people say millions, might be very much smaller than that. The number should be zero, though. That I am certain of. So yet another example of the thing that never happens happening. Another bizarre thing, and this is a fascinating story. Mamdani, the candidate in New York, he appears with in a picture smiling arm in arm with an unindicted co-conspirator of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. And of course, a terrorist apologist. This is a person who is very much anti-gay and have all sorts of problems that the left should normally care about, as you know, many people who are deep into the Islamicism situation are. But you think about this, and somebody pointed this out on the Twitters I saw earlier, and I can't remember who it was, but they said, you know, like it's, I think maybe David Harsanyi, who noted we went from, in one generation, from 9/11 to Mamdani. Now, and then he has the balls to go out and have a picture taken with an unindicted co-conspirator of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. And I thought to myself, well, this is, you know, it got to be embarrassing for him, right? Because, you know, the typical thing, like maybe it was in Uganda. He's from Uganda, Mamdani. Some old picture unearthed of him with this guy. No, this isn't unearthed. This happened after the debate that happened last week. Did I show the picture yet? Here's the picture. There they are. Look at that. Smiles all around. Everyone's excited for a guy who was an unindicted co-conspirator for a bombing of the World Trade Center, of all places. Absolutely amazing. Finally, CNN has this story. Democrats are talking about abortion on the campaign trail again. I love the way they word this. They're just talking about this, a wonderful issue to get their base excited. That's all it is. This is a Spanberger, the gubernatorial candidate in Virginia. She says in states where that further restricted abortion access, women have died. If my opponent were to become governor, that is what she would inflict upon Virginia. First of all, women die in all states. I don't know if anyone knows this. Anyone's followed the news. People die all the time. They die for all different reasons. The nonsense that they say is the abortion's fault is a lie, and we've gone over that many, many times. But one thing we do know for sure is the states where all the abortions are happening, about half of them kill women. Now, they're little women. They're not women fully yet, but they will never grow up to be women because they will never grow up to be anything. They will just wind up being killed. So we 100% know. When you make legal abortion more accessible, that's what happens. And I guess that's something we're supposed to cheer on now here in this country. Okay, so here's what happened. Normally when the segment, I try to find some weird story that you might not have heard of that's just quirky or has some thing some random reason why I find it interesting. This one, though, was kind of everywhere. Thieves steal crown jewels in 4 minutes from Louvre Museum. this is kind of, you may know, the home of the Mona Lisa. This is how they got in with, I guess, a ladder, an electric ladder on top of a truck. They went up to the second floor, broke a window in 4 minutes, stole a bunch of jewels, and were able to leave. This is what they look like. These are the jewels. This one, by the way, this is a crown. They wound up dropping this, and it was actually recovered. Everything else is still stolen. You have this, you know, ridiculous crown. You've got this little tiara type of situation. You got these jewels and even more. The funny thing I always think about with this stuff is, like, if I steal a bunch of money, I can spend it. What am I doing with this stuff? What am I wearing around my apartment? I don't even understand. Like, who could you? We can't put it on eBay. How do you even sell it? Lots of big questions I have. I'll have to ask Jeffy.